Good evening, friends. It's a privilege to be here tonight to speak in the name of the Lord. And as I was noticing, we're having a little trouble with the my second voice. This is a sermon. This thing is a perfect mute, unless something's behind to speak here. That's where a minister is, he's a mute until the Holy Spirit speaks to him. And then it becomes a servant of Christ. Now, I think tomorrow morning is breakfast for the Christians. And there's no designation of ministers and choosing businessmen whenever I'm speaking. And that's their next reserve convention. And so I just nodded my head to Brother Vail. He's back there picking up the acoustics to see if it was right. Tomorrow night now is prayer for the sick. I'm going to try to let you out. I told Brother Vail a few weeks ago I was going to cut my horses about half and two because we're just a little late. But tomorrow night is the night we pray for the sick. Now, get on the phone tomorrow and get the people out here that is sick. Now, the prayer cards will be given out tomorrow afternoon at the afternoon service at the church. And those who are out of town and come from out of town to work and cannot, I have the boys here to have some prayer cards here at 6:30 tomorrow night for those who could not get in for the afternoon service. If all possible, get the afternoon service and get the prayer cards from the boys there or at 6:30 tomorrow night from the auditorium here. Now, we want to get straight to the message right quick. Expecting to see many of you in the morning at the breakfast, I suppose it's been announced from here. And we'll be looking for you tomorrow. And then we'll tell you where we continue on with the service at the International Convention of Christian Businessmen. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter and the 11th verse, I read a portion of God's Word. And as the eagle stirs up her nest, floweth over her young, floweth abroad her wings, and taketh them beneath them on her wings. I said last night I would speak tonight, the Lord willing, on the eagle stirring her nest. I spoke on this before over in Virginia a few months ago. And I know it was quite lengthy, so I just tried to speak on a few of the high spots. But there's something about nature that if you look at nature, you'll see God. And God dwells in His universe, in His people, in His Word, in His Son. He just dwells in His flowers. He dwells in everything. God is universal. On the present. And now in thinking of the eagle, I've asked and wondered why God likened this heritage to an eagle. And then it stirred my curiosity of being a rancher myself and watching the traits of the eagle and how I've studied nature. Nature was my first Bible. I used to, before I knew one word in the Bible, when I was 21 years old, a man told me to look for James 5:14 in the Bible, and I was looking in Genesis to find it. 21 years old. And at 22 years old, I was an ordained Baptist minister in Missionary Baptist Church. The Lord was good to me. But I studied God from the way of nature, where I found Him. Just like a flower. I noticed you women here with your flowers. How did they bloom up in the summertime, then death strikes them? They bow their little head and give up the life that's in them. The petals drop off, a little black seed drops out. Then you have a funeral procession. Did you know that? God has a funeral procession for His flowers? Sure. The fire rains come and cry, dirt and tears down, and bury the little black seed. Then along comes the cold winter. Breathes is up and the pulp is gone, bursts out of the seed and runs out. Spring of the year, there is no bug, no pork, no seed, no nothing that you can find. Yet, in there, God has preserved the life. Just as that eastern sun begins to shine and warm up the ground, there's no science to find that little grain of life, yet it's there and it lives with the men. And if God has made a way for a flower to live again, how much more has He made a way for a man to live again? Some time ago, I was having ice cream with an old Methodist preacher friend of mine. And he used to sing a little song that I was speaking to you about. Now, he was a real Methodist. He wasn't just like a lot of Methodists today, just go to church. He was a Methodist. He had his experience. Now, I got back and said to the Pentecostal people, you Pentecostal people just got the same Holy Spirit we Baptists got. Now, we're not some kind of Baptists that say things and join church. We get out there and do one over the back door and come through. We have something when we got through. God knows we need to do Baptists like that. The old Protestant type of Baptist. Not just the one that believes in grace and brings a lot of disgrace to the gospel, but one who believes in the grace of God and lives without the Holy Spirit. And I was having ice cream with this old Methodist friend of mine, and the agriculture hour was on. And over in Louisville, Kentucky, they were broadcasting and set a little 4-8 club had made up a machine that could produce a grain of corn just as perfect as one that was grown in the field. That you could reach your hand in a sack, that was a machine to produce, but your hand in a sack that was raised in the field, mixing together, there was no way of ever telling apart. Take them to the laboratory, let them open. They both have the same amount of calcium and moisture, and the heart was in the grain just the same. Everything just, one of them is just as good a cornflakes as the other one, just as good a fish, harmony, anything as the other. And they said there's only one way you can really tell. That's buried. I said to this old Methodist, now if you don't want me to embarrass you, then I'll hold my hand. You can act like a Christian. You might dress like a Christian. You might impersonate a Christian in every way, but unless that grain of life is in there, you'll never rise on the resurrection. That machine can put all the moisture and all the calcium in there, but it can't put life in there. That's God. Work alone. You might be a Christian and be just as loyal and perfect in your church as you can be, but except you're born again in the resurrection, you'll lay there. All eternal life, God's life, will raise up from the dust of the earth. So in watching the eagles and the birds, lots of times of great joy has it been to me to watch them. And I begin to read what the eagles were, how many were there. And you'd be surprised to know that there's 40 different types of eagles. The word itself means a carrier or a feeder with the beak, with the mouth. And that's like in the water God likened his heritage to eagles, his prophets, because they feed the word with the mouth by preaching. That's the reason he likened to eagles. Feeding the flock by the mouth. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing of the word. So that's why one reason he would liken him to eagles. And another reason he likened to eagles, an eagle is a special bird. He can fly higher than any other bird there is. And I know a lot of people here, you think it's a hawk. The hawk is no equal to him at all. Well, if the hawk was trying to fly as high as an eagle, he would just disintegrate in the air. The eagle can lose the hawk anytime. He can go so high that the hawk couldn't even breathe. And then in order to get up there, that means that he'll have to be able to see far. Then another thing, he'll have to be a special male bird. If he wouldn't, his wings
feathers are so tight you can't pull them out with a pair of pliers. He has to be to hold his big weight, let's see an air. So when he gets up there, he has to be a special bird, special built bird, or he will never get up there. And that's the way a Christian is. He's just not wheeling over or something kind of a bird fixed over. He's born and made a Christian by birth. He's a special made bird, God designed. So if you go above, way high, soar above the things of the world, and watch things that are coming in a distance. Now, it wouldn't do him to get up there unless he was able to stay there or to do some benefit while he was there. And that's the way the prophet is, the preacher, that can climb in the spirit far beyond anything. Very high in the height of inspiration. A real servant of God can climb so high till a normal mind can even follow him. Because he's a special built bird. Oh, how I love to think of that. I always like to be a little different anyhow from the things of that life, and I don't like the world or the things of the world, and I'm glad to know that we're both different. Just a little different. Now, you know, a little rain can run around on the ground, and a buzzard can soar, but he can never follow an eagle. He'd die. I'm just so glad that God's got some people that can climb above the things of the world. Way up high. And he has to be a special bird to do that. Then I notice again that he's the reason that he gets up there and is a special bird, not because that he desired to be a special bird, but because God made him a special bird. He is a special bird because he was born a special bird. That's the reason a lot of lukewarm church members can't follow a real Christian into spiritual things. He's never been born again. He hasn't been designed for that purpose. No wonder he can't understand it, but even see. And another thing about the eagle renews his youth, renews his strength and his youth. That represents the church again. Because a man can be baptized and away from God and put him in a good revival somewhere and he renews his covenant. He renews his youth. He comes back to God and he'll feel like he's all washed up and ready to go again. That's what an eagle does. He gets old and his habits and things begin to fail. He can't see good no more. Then all of a sudden something happens to him, and he comes back like a young bird again. Well, I remember the first Pentecostal meeting I belonged to. It was at Mishawaka, Indiana. And they had about 500 preachers on the platform, and they said, we want every man up here just to stand up and say what church he belongs to, what his name is. And I just stood up and said, Baptist, William Branham, Baptist, sit down. All of them got through, and that day I didn't notice many of the young preachers preaching, and I listened to their message. I thought they were kind of noisy, but you know, if you're not a little noisy, it's the sound of your voice. If your religion hasn't got some emotion in it, I can prove you anything without emotion yourself. Right. When Aaron went into the holiest of holies, they cut a pomegranate and a bell. And when that's the only way they go, he was still alive because he made a noise in there. That's about the only way you can tell the church is alive, and he yells it an amen once in a while and suffers that a little factor is still alive there somewhere. And I remember that night they brought an old preacher out there. He was about 80 years old, had a health into the platform. Just had a little rim of cotton around here, an old Negro preacher. And just a little rim of cotton around like this, a great big old, one of those old felt collar preachers, pigeon tail coats we used to call them, walked out there at the platform, so old, the old fellow couldn't hardly speak. And he said, children,
He took his text from over in Job. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Declaring to me where they're fastened. And the morning stars came together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Well, all the ministers that day have been talking about the life of the Lord Jesus on earth. But he picked him up about a million years before the world ever began, when the morning stars came together and the sons of God shouting for joy. Going down the horizontal rainbow in the second coming. He'd been on the platform about 5 minutes and Jesse jumped in the air and took his heel to and said, "Glory!" Said, "You haven't got enough room up here for me to preach." And kept off there like a little kid. I was about 23 years old. I said, "That's what I want. If you'll make an old man do that, what would you do to a young man? I want some of that." Oh, I'm so glad for all. And so the evil renews his youth. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like eagles. They shall run like lightning. They shall walk in that faith, and oh, how the Lord does universal illustration. Now, and another thing the evil has, he is a bird that has ambition not to let his little ones be hurt. He builds his nest really high in the rock, and there he makes his nest for his young ones. How different it is with the other birds, how they build their nest down low, but the eagle goes high to build his nest. Some time ago, I was down to Cincinnati, Ohio, to the zoo. I've got two little girls, a little boy, and how I love little children. And every time when I'm gone from them, so I'll come in, get in the house, one wants to piggyback, and you know how it is. And I just love the little fellas. And I'm going to use them now for an expression. Some time ago, they get up in the morning, there he gets up in the morning, gets on my lap first. And Rebecca is a little older than Sarah. And so Rebecca got up first and she ran in and jumped across my leg, and her leg's long, hung down to the floor. And she put her arms around me and began to hug me. And just then the smaller girl came into the room. And she looked, and Rebecca turned to Sarah and said, "Sarah, I've got all of Daddy. There's none left for you." And the little fellow, the little girl, puckered up her little lips to cry, and I motioned to her and put my other leg out. And she come over and jumped on my knee, and I put my arms around her, and she turned those big brown eyes and looked over to Rebecca and said, "Rebecca, you may have all of Daddy, but Daddy's got all of me." So that's the way it is, brother. You may have all of the theology and all, but I want Christ to have all of me, everything that I am, every fiber and every bit. I want him to hold me. How that God and does his great marvelous work. One day I was up in Colorado, where I asked him a lot, and there was, oh, it was early in the fall, and the snow hadn't come yet, and the elk herds were high. And the rancher, Mr. Jeffers, and I ranched together for years while we were hunting, and we know the land like you would just sitting here. And so we were about 2 days journey back at on Troublesome, the east part of Troublesome River. And he separated that morning, and he said, "Billy, I'm going over to look after some sheep, wild sheep, mountain sheep. But I'll meet you down at the other line camp, which is about 75 miles away. But I'll meet you down there about day after tomorrow because the elk is in this district." I said, "Okay, Jeff." So I went high, from to the timber line. And I tied my horses down in the bottom and be back the day after or something to pick them up. And I was walking along, and that time of year, it'll rain, and then the sun will shine, then it'll snow, and the sun will shine, and it come up a storm. And I got behind a tree and stood like this until the storm was over. It was raining and blowing.
And I stood there and was thinking about how good God is. And how I love to be alone with Him up there in the mountains. There was a blowdown near where I was, where the cliffs had come to and blow the trees down. And after the storm went away, I began to think on the scriptures, the great meetings. And then the sun was setting in the west, and the great eye looking across the valley, and where the evergreen had blown up there high from the storm, it formed a rainbow. And all David said, when the dew calls to the dew, if there's something in you that loves God, and you can see something that's godly, there's just something that takes a hold of and grips you. And I remember, I said, there is Jehovah, the great eye looking. There is the rainbow. That's His covenant. And I said in the New Testament, I remember reading that He was looked upon as jasper and sardis stone, Benjamin and Reuben, the first and the last, and the covenant of the rainbow over His head. And just then, an old great wolf howled up on the mountain, and the mate anchored down in the bottom. My mama's a half Indian, and my conversion never took it out of me. Oh, something began to call the deep to the deep. The wild call. Then I heard the old bell. He got turned away from the herd. And then something within me began to call out, oh, God, you are present. Where you are in the wolf call, where you are in the elk bugle, where you are in the rainbow, there you are in the setting of the sun. Lord, you are everywhere. And then I was amazed that a little old pine squirrel jumped up, a little old fellow about so long, and just all like the Irishman's owl, all fuss and feathers. He just began to jump up and down and tear all night. He was going to tear me to pieces. Well, I said, little fella, what I've been doing, and I felt that real deep call, I set my gun down against the tree and run around and around and around the tree just as hard as I go to the top of the wall. Well, I said, then somebody wanted to set a maniac out here. But I didn't say what they thought. I was worshiping God. That's all I cared. I know He was there. And a person just can shout and say, your shouts are no good. You must, everywhere you see God, express yourself to Him and love Him. And I thought, did I strike you, little fella? And I happened to notice He wasn't paying much attention to me. But He cocked His little head and looked down. He's looking down in that blowdown. And the winds and the storm had forced the big eagle down. And we had the brown eagle in Colorado, which is a very big bird. And forced him in there. And that's what he was excited about. Well, I thought, well, why did you stop me from shouting or something like that? This big eagle jumped up on one of the limbs, great, big, gray-looking eyes, beautiful bird. And he took that just as straight. And I said, now, what did you want me to see in that eagle? You mean I could see you in that eagle? Why did you interrupt me from worshiping the way I was, around and around this tree? Then I thought, well, there's one thing I can see in Him. He's not afraid. And God's creatures are never afraid. You're not afraid of nothing. So then, I noticed again, I said to Him, do you know I could shoot you? It's talking to Him. Nobody else ever talked to Him. You see, now I'm the Lord. So I said, you know I could shoot you? And I made out like a little reach from a gun. I seen those big eyes look at me, and I noticed He began to feel those feathers. See if everything wasn't running on it. He knew that God gave him two wings, and you could trust those two wings. And he knew before I could get my gun to my shoulder, he'd be in the treetop, and I'd never see him again. He knew what he was doing. Oh, I thought, how much more if God give an eagle two wings and he knew where he was standing with them, what ought a Christian to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do I know where he's standing? Well, he seemed that I wasn't going to hurt him. hurt him because I admire him. But if I started listening to that little old pine fool, and finally he just made a couple of big drops of junk, dropped his wings about twice and he was outside the timber, and then I seen what God would mean. He never flopped no more. He just knew how to set those big strong wings, and as the wings came up there that he just, rode down the waves on. He never moved a feather. He just knew how to set his wings. And he went on beyond that little old pine squirrel till it becomes just a little dot. I stood there and wept like a baby. I said, that's it, God. It isn't join the Methodists and make it matter if you join the Baptists and go over to the Pentecostals. That isn't it. It's just knowing how to set your wings in the power of His faith. And when the Holy Ghost comes in like a vessel, right away, go on. Away from this chatter here. Oh, the grace of miracles is Christ, chatter. No such thing as divine union. No such thing as baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just set your faith in the power of His Spirit and right away without joining Baptist, Methodist, or Pentecost, or any of them. Just right away upon the power of the Holy Ghost. Just throw your faith out and say, God, you still live and reign, and you're the same Lord Jesus. Right away on His blessings. Certainly He promises. One day little Sarah and I was taking a walk. She was new. And I've seen the most saddest sight I believe I ever seen. It was an eagle in a cage. They hadn't had him there very long. That great big fella didn't have any feathers over his head. All his wings was beat off on the side. Now watch him. He'd lay on the floor. Take his hand. He'd get up. He'd look at those bars. He'd turn him off this way. So he got to start. And he'd fly across the hand. He'd be breaking those bars, flopping his wings, knocking back on the floor. He'd get up, look at the bars somewhere else, walk back, get a start, and here he'd come. He'd bump his head till he'd beat his head till he'd had no feathers on his head or on his wings. And then it finally knocked him out of the floor, and he laid there. And his weary eyes, as he looked towards the sky, that was it. He was a heavenly bird. He was born to soar in the sky. And here he was caged in, not a way to ever be free again. I thought that was the most satisfied. I'd give that man $100 more than he paid for the eagle if he'd let me open that door and let him out. All the faith that he was born to stay in those blue skies. Then he looked up at him, but it couldn't look. Somebody had put him in a cage. I thought that was a sad sight. But brother, when I see men and women who are born to be sons and daughters of God, placed in their place of denomination theology, that they say that they are from there as a past one, and to keep me away from the real thing of God, walking around out here trying to satisfy that blessed hunger, that God put in me to thirst after Him, and satisfy the wearing shorts and drinking and joining churches and all these things, and then that's the saddest sight I ever seen. You were born to be men and women of God to serve them. Young boy, and it's born unknown. God made you thus. Not to be faced in my denomination, don't believe in miracles. I don't care what your denomination does. Your Savior says so. That settles it. Don't let no one touch in the cage. You don't need any faith. You need to be free. The reason you look upward is because you're a violent people. The reason you love to do that is because God made you that. You can say, cook, cook, and a cookie cook. You are made to be an eagle of fire the sky. The heavens above is changing on earth through the power of the living God. You aren't made to be like other birds. That's what's the matter tonight. That's what your hearts are hungering for. You should get loose and get free because you're an eagle to begin with. An eagle is an eagle to start with. He is born an eagle. That's what makes him hunger and thirst for righteousness. But as long as you're standing in a cage, it says, the days of miracles is past. Oh, they won't listen to those fanatics. They're so divine you. They're so baptized with the Holy Ghost. They're nothing better than the Holy Ghost. Don't you believe that? Don't you believe that? There is a man who paid the price to open the door and find you with you and cry homeward to his power and to his blessing. That man is Jesus Christ, who died to take you out of the devil's torn top and to make you free in Christ Jesus. So you can thank the heavens above. Was it you? Yet an eagle. All he is. How much different he is from a chicken. But they're both birds. What is a chicken? A chicken is a denominational brother, isn't it? But he's a chicken. How much different it is with a chicken. The eagle goes just as high as he can and builds his nest in the cleft of a rock. And he gets up there so no predators can get to him. That's the way a real preacher builds his church. As the eagle of God, he builds it up on the word and the spirit of God, so that the all the old dappers and old chartlers and cigar smokers and two hall vendors can't touch it, because he gets them eagles so high and born into the kingdom of God that all the old strategies of Elvis Presley or the doctrine that was the church, they turn away from him, because they are eagles in reality. That's not something that is at the spirit of the living God. The high ambition. Jesus said, "You are a city that sits on a hill that gives life to everyone." And the real church of God is built with ambitions that won't stop on these earthly organizations. It brings in the power and the resurrection of Christ. He stands beyond these old chicken nests that we have around here. Right. No, he in the wilderness. Look how they take care of the sprinklers, dehydrators, somebody that's putting all kinds of food powder, all kinds of stuff like that indoctrinated. What are they? Nothing but a prey. A prey to the weak. A prey to the wolf. A prey to the snake. Everything that comes along. Brother, a man that's born to the Spirit of God, they have to be all indoctrinated and born this circle, circle, and that circle, circle. He's born by the Spirit of God, a free man that stands on it, and depends on the living God to take care of him. He's finest of what takes place. Your eyes are ambition to live for God. Your people will go out to build a nest. They'll build a nest, a great big coop, and put a big bunch of lye over it, and put straw in there and everything like that. Just a domesticated bird, that's all there is to it. Once you get the little ones, they don't know nothing about the heavenly. But the eagle climbs up there and builds her nest. How many times have I watched them through my binoculars up in the top of the mountain? We ought to watch the eagle, how she takes care to build her nest. She'll go out and get great big sticks. She'll go right to a little straight peak like this, just as high. There's not a slip and there's nothing can get to her. I'm so glad that the Church of the Living God built the same way. It's built above all the things of the world. It's so high above it, because we don't even look at it no more. If you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God not leaving you. That's right. And then this old eagle will take these big sticks and how she'll put them into those crevices. And she'll bend them around with a car. Then she'll go to dry vines. Then she'll wrap them around and tie that nest together just as tight so the wings can't blow it. Oh, God takes care of his own. And then she'll go out and she wants everything real closely for her babies that come along. So when she kills sheep or rabbits, she'll bring that stuff in. And she'll take a big beak and stuff them. Little stickery places all full of rabbit skin, all full of sheep skin, and make it real soft and cozy. That's the way God does when he brings one of these children into his care. He always makes the nest cozy, all the sheep with everything. All the clothes is rolled away. You're just a beast when you're born again. God cares for you. Then how she takes care of those little fellows, lashes them, feeds them, takes care of them, she goes out and gets sheep, she goes and gets the beef, she watches her diet. And eagles eat off, spiritual eagles eat from the word of the living God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Man shall not live by denomination, he shall not live by creeds or by prayers, he shall live by the word of God.
that every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we don't love the world anymore. He stand it. He's come out. He's not a buzzard. He's an eagle. Notice. Then, after a while, it comes to a place that these little eagles begin to cut more feathers. How delighted the mother is to see these feathers in the little eagle. After a while, they become pretty good-sized feathers. Now, remember, they've never been out of that nest. And that old mother eagle is determined that her kids will not be chickens. They won't have the habits of chickens. I'm so glad of that. If God's given, God's determined by the Holy Ghost that His Spirit, your children, will not be scandal, denominated so-called Christians. He's determined of that. And after they get the feathers out a little bit, then there comes a time what they call the stirring of the nest. I've watched it many times. That old mother eagle will come down one day, she'll look over these little fellows, and she'll say, all right, she'll get me stand up. She'll stand up on her nest. She'll take those great deep wings of hers, and she'll go to stand that nest just as hard as she can. Why? After a while, she's going to take those little needles on a solo flight. We're not going to be chickens earthbound. Days of miracles is past, and there's no such a thing as this and that. But she's going to give them a solo flight. And if those feathers are loose, they'll break the nest. So if she has to fan all the loose feathers off of them with her own wings before she can take them on the solo flight. Brother, I'm telling you, if the Pentecostal church ever needs a wing thing, it's right now. Look at all the new feathers off of it. That's right. You lose. Even doing the things in the world. All these churches are guilty of the same thing, from one to the other. And notice, he has to get those feathers out of them. And if they don't, they'll break their neck. And he's too many loose feathers. And she's got the equipment to do it with. She's got two deep wings. And God's got the equipment to do it with, both over the New Testament. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. Why do you think it takes place when those little eagles have been born in that cliff in the rock, hovered by their mother all the time, when the first time they feel a mighty rushing wind coming down? But somehow God has a way of stirring this by a mighty rushing wind. Even over there at Pentecost, and meeting another mighty rushing wind, they were holding this to stand the new settings out of the Pentecostal church. You should act as fresh as you're in the rest of you. You need to know these feathers stand down. You can sit up there, you're pressing that. And you chickens, there's no need to try to think about it. No wonder you can't take it. Well, you take them over here and throw it out up there, she disintegrates. That's why she can't stand it. She's got to be an eagle, or she can't stand it. You can't take it. And you've got to be born again before you can ever, banish through the supernatural. Right. So the old eagle stands there, and she fans the feathers all out of them. Oh, brother, what a time. Then the next thing she does, she gets in there and takes all of those little sheepskins and things that she stuffed out of that nest, takes the beak and throws them out on the hill. She's determined they're not going to be chickens. And she's going to make that nest so miserable for them that they have to get out. So then you have these standing on thorns. Every time you stay on, it's a thorn. Everywhere it's a thorn. Everywhere you stop, it's a thorn. God does that for a purpose. The only eagle wants to make them that way. And if you notice when the mighty western wind hits you, and you begin to glorify God, everywhere you hit with a thorn, you try to take your testimony to bring the world up. And he sees you take your best friend, he says, that's your holy will have you. A thorn. Get ready! You're going to take a ride! That's what I can tell you. God's just making you ready. You know, when the pastor say, Pastor, last night I was praying and all at once something happened to me. My life changed and I feel different. I hear it. Don't you go stretching out around our church. Another song. He makes the nest so miserable till you have to get out. You just can't take it anymore. Because if you don't take that, that shows you wasn't able to begin with. Then after a while, when you get to all, get them all dissatisfied, then the old mother eagle comes up to the nest. And you know what really the little eagle has is seen what size bird his mama is. So she gets on the nest, you ought to see it, it's a real drama. And she gets on the nest, and she goes to cooing to him. Cooing to him, the eagle's wrong. Oh, that sounds good. Then she stretches out her feet and leaves. See how big I am? And then little
God, the Son of Him, and even just flick him feet across the wing spread. They could pick up a calf and pack it away. And that would even never realize what a mother he had. And so he began to look up to her. And she began to show her power. A lot of you people sitting here sick tonight. You Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians. The doctors turned you down to you Pentecostals. It's because God found us. No, you're sick tonight, found us. Thank God these powers that took out your land. God's going to take you out of fight one of these days. And he wants to know how great thou art. Did you ever turn at night and look at the solar system? How that those little old stars and moons is nothing but insects, little grains of dust on his feathers. Sure, how great thou art, and say, can't heal the sick. What type of a pastor would that be? How great thou art. He wants you to look at him. Why? He wants to take you on a ride. He wants to give something good to you, because ain't you tired of being a chicken? You don't want to be a chicken, let's be an eagle. So then he sets forth a great thing. Said, look how great I am. Show those great big wings. You see how great I am? They feel that cool breeze coming in. That's where a man, when he gets down before God, and the Holy Spirit begins to move in on him. How great thou art. How great thou art. Trust me. Can you trust me? And the little sufferer wings say, Mama, I'm just like you are. I'm ready. She's hovering over her nest. She's fluttering over her young. And each one of those little eagles, she stole those big wings down. Each little eagle climbs up there and sets his little paws down in her great big strong wings. Takes his little beak, catches a hold of the feathers. You couldn't pull it out with a pair of pliers. So now, it has to be the hold of that little one. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Oh, keep God's own changing hands. Nothing in my own God's own simply to that cross I clean. Let the world say, Holy Lord, the magic divine healer, whatever they wish you, let me hold to God's unchanging hand. Set my hopes in power. Not in your marriage of any church or any preacher or any preacher, but set my faith in the merits of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who set me free from the last sin and death. Heaven, let me hold to His unchanging hand when I take the flight. As the lion, all the little eaglets are gathered on the wings. I like to think of that. I was standing in Gary, Indiana some time ago, where Brother Gold here is from. And they took me up to show me the mill, the steel mill. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I've always wondered how this would be. And each man of these beasts working, these ladies, you know, and shavings on the floor, and a little whistle blows. Every man swept the shavings right out in the middle of the floor from the steel work. Now, I said, what are you going to do, sir? I said, stand here, Mr. Branham, and you'll see something. I said, all right. I stood there. After all, the other whistle blew, all the men went out. And then after all of them went out, he pressed a little button. And I heard something coming in the distance. Roar, roar, roar. I thought, what's that? And down through the tunnel, it was a great, big magnet. And as it crossed over that floor, right down that aisle, all those shavings picked right up on it and went out to the people over it and demagnetized it, and it dropped into the mold over again. I said, hallelujah! He said, sir? I said, hallelujah, and praise our God. He said, I didn't know. I said, where did that stuff go? He said, it's to be molded and made over. I said, I'm thinking of another great magnet that's coming someday. And so take this old corruptible body of mine and go and mold it over again. I said, I want to ask you something. Why didn't all those shavings go? He said, sir, some of them are aluminum. It was not magnetized. I said, oh, he's wrong. I said, what's the matter with that piece of iron there didn't go? He said, it's bolted down. I said, that's it. That's it. Oh, don't be demagnetized or be bolted down to some truth, but be free in Christ when He comes. And the Holy Spirit goes to pick you up and make you a new creature and mold you into His own fashion. And I noticed this old eagle as they go with her again. She squealed three or four times real squeaky, and she set her big wings out, and she picked those little birds up, and she went up, 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 up.
The air got thinner. They'd have perished if there wasn't evil. But you know what there was? They were her own brood. God never makes you a promise you're here to step out on. He'll give you breath, breath to breathe. He'll give you work to stand. He'll give you grace. Just step out on each one of the promise. See if he won't do it. Answering so high, way in the air. Now here's the funny part about it. When she got up there, you know what she done? She struck another one off. Off of the wings. They weren't going to be chickens. They had to fly. But those are little eagles. They were turned upside down, flip-flop. What's the matter? They were topsy-turvy and everything else. They didn't care. They were flying. You say, did she go away from him? No, sir. She just stole it out to one side and began to watch him. Oh, my. If one of them got out of prison, she'd pick him up. Amazing grace, she'd pick him up and lift him right back up to the end of the room. Oh, he's real. His eye is on his battle, and I know he watches me. I may not be formidable, I may be all out of favor, but I'm trying to fly anyhow. Having a throw of Pentecostal Jubilee, dropping my Pentecostal wings, just dropping in the air as hard as I can, and screaming the grace of God just as loud as I know how to do. And he's just saying this. Yeah, he's not scared. The nature's in mammy. He's an evil to begin with. He's not afraid. And then he turns over and upside down. If he gets too far out of favor, he reaches right down, picks him up, bears him right back up and throws him. That's what he does. So he learns how to fly. Oh, how much different is with the chicken. Her food. She just walks around the barnyard with him, earthbound. That's all she knows. One day a guy was there setting here. And he only had 14 loads. How many is he setting? 15, isn't he? And he couldn't find that other egg, so they say he found an eagle's egg. And he took that eagle's egg and put it on the old hood. And when all of us had out, that was a funny looking little creature and chicken that they ever saw. Just about, that's about the way you get them in a church, about 1 out of 7. That's right. And they were all looking over them. So he's an eagle. Oh, we're going down to the Ladies' Aid Society. Thank you, I don't really want to go. They're going to play pool tonight? Don't think so. They're about 1 of 7, that's about the way they run. So here's a strange thing to watch this little eagle. How you look around, you couldn't learn the habits of those chickens. The way scratch the manure pile, he didn't know nothing about that. These people down here drinking little sociable drinks and going to horse races and watching the horses dancing, Elvis Presley, and he loves sushi and don't go to prayer meetings. Are we a Christian thing that's saying those things?
So much different the rest of them. And the old man who had to fly over the barnyard. She knew that was her name. And she screamed, "Johnny, you're not a chicken! You're a man!" Oh, I remember when I heard it. Come out of that! Come out from among them! Be separated, says God. Touch out your unclean things. Now I'll receive you. You'll be sons and daughters to me, and I'll be God to you. Don't mess yourself up with unbelievers, but come out of it. Whoever was a coming out time, Lord, in you right now. Come out and separate yourself from the things of the world. That little angel said, "Hey, that sounds evil." Maybe you went to church one night and somebody said, "Hey, amen, glory to God, hallelujah." That sounds just right. Just what is his nature, you see. He's the evil to start with. You know what happened? He turned his little head, put him in the bathroom. Looked around and said, "Sure, That's where I ought to be. But the rest of them not going up there. He's set the little man in here. Can anyone get up there? Nah, don't you start that fanaticism among my chickens. Don't you start pushing on things around here. You excommunicate me right away. The person there, whenever your Bible comes to you, you're evil from the ocean, says, you mercy! You're not a chicken, you're mine! Then you just never know me, how do I get there? They told me I have to stay here. So just jump and flop you and turn out the chicken. So when Jesus made a jump and flop his wings and hit on the barn yard post, stop in the middle of a Pentecostal organization. Now I'm about to search into a Pentecostal organization. And everybody passed by me and said to me, if you shoot so far now, I can't get this. You've got to come higher than your organization. Get out of your supernatural. Stop holding spirit with your ego. Stop taking your heart better. Can you use anything you've got to die in front of me if you listen to him? Turn in. Ego. Hallelujah! You can't be a chicken. A chicken can't be an eagle. You're predestinated by God to be eagles. You were born to be eagles. You come out of the eagle family. Your spirit comes from God who created the heavens and earth, who created all things and made the world out of things that were. If you're in style, you say amen to everything he says it's the truth. And you stand on his word. If the Holy Spirit is in you, it witnesses back to God that you're his child. And no bunch of creeds or denominations hold you away from God. You'll go because you're God. Oh, the Holy Spirit of God streams over the building, streams over the people, works among them. You're every night when you're speaking, calling, showing the people that he was just the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's here tonight the same way. Let's bow our heads just a minute. I want to ask you something. If you're not an eagle, would you like to be an eagle? Raise your hand and say, God, catch my hand as I raise it up. God bless it. That's good. That's right. Make me an eagle, Lord. I haven't been, but I want to be. I want to get into the sphere where denominations won't hold me. I don't say get away from the denomination. I use Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. I don't say that. But be an eagle in it. There's other eagles in there. Raise your hand and say, God, put my hand, catch me around every one, and bring me up into the heavens. Show you God. You are some of those things that things you like divine healing. Because you were born to believe it. There's something in you says it's real. Lord God, take these hands and send them to you. Bring them out of the old nest and let them know that the Spirit of God that's here now is calling them to a deeper walk, to a greater experience. Not just an experience of putting your name on a book, walking out. Putting your name on a Pentecostal book or any kind of a book and walking out. But it means being born again by the Holy Spirit. God, let the scream of the Holy Spirit echo in your hearts deep tonight. Let it rise and be filled with the Spirit. And someday when you come, we'll fly away into the heavens by your Spirit and by your grace. Then it in Jesus' name, amen. You love him? Yeah. Without the music, or give us the chorus. I love him. How many knows it? Let's sing it now. All right. I love him. Everybody knows. here. How many sick people do we raise in here? We can raise them in the great world. God bless you. You don't need prayer, God. I think the Holy Spirit tells me right now, He wants to cleanse you, He's God. And He's here in the living room for goodness sake. We don't have no prayer, God. We ain't got any new ones here, don't need them. I think that God's right now for you to do something. Amen. You decide on your heart. How many of you in the meeting of the night heard to explain how Jesus was yesterday, how the woman touched His garment, and He turned His over, raised your hands to Him. Now have faith and believe. Oh, I just, in my, I can tell you, it's a sight. Not a sight. There's five senses controlled about it. She thinks she is not aware. But the sixth sense is faith. You don't see it, taste it, see it, smell it here. But it's there. Just like this microphone here before me, it tells us to see it. If there was a man standing here, I could see it. But only way I could tell the man moves was to watch him. But in this anointing this now, I know He's here anyhow. When He moves, I can tell it. You pray if you need. If God right here now will send you, another one of you know what I was thinking to you. If God will send something for you here like He did in His Son, for He promised you this, how many of you will love Him and know that He is the evil that our hearts are hungry to find? God, you see your hand. I'm your servant, and they are too. Let it be done, Lord, that they might know that you're God and I'm telling you the truth. I might not be able to polish up a sermon like a minister ought to, but Lord, I do know you, and I know the truth in you. Help, Lord. Now you speak the words of my sermon wasn't sufficient. You speak the words in your own way. In Jesus' name we commit ourselves to you. Amen. Just sit down. Believe. I was a woman touched His garment. She went out in the audience and Jesus turned to her and touched me. This Holy Spirit that I speak of is the same today with any church, then you have to act the same. He's the Holy Spirit. You are sick now, pray. Tomorrow night will be the regular healing night. Tonight is too. Yes, sir. Stand there just a minute. Yes, stand there. I don't know you. Of course you haven't got a prayer card. Now you know what one is. You bring me to be your servant. If Christ will reveal to me what your trouble, you accept it. Believe you'll be healed and whatever it's your need. And you know, something right there, look at me. Something's going on right now. If that's right, raise up your hand. I've never seen you in my life. This is probably our first time ever meeting. But if you believe with all your heart, the heart trouble affects you. You have heart trouble, didn't you? That's why I raise your hand like this. Go back and sit down. By the way, that man sitting next to you there have heart trouble too. Right next to you. That's right. You could hide your life there if you had to. But when I pull that in, it makes you alarmed, and you believe. That's right. Now you're going to be healed. Jesus Christ makes you well. If that's right, stand up on your feet and say, I challenge you to believe. Hallelujah. There are many evils, calling demons. Some of you believe, some of you have been that faith believe. Set reverence, help me in the room. Come on, y'all. The little fellow says, if you got heart trouble too, have lots of stars today. Stay close to one thing or another, but it's heart trouble, sir. Weak is nervous condition. Forget it. Go home and be well. You're coming along the way from this disappointment in your way of coming here. Something blew up. It'll be all right. Don't worry. You're losing your life. I don't know you. God does. What about this young lady sitting here looking at me so sincerely? Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe I'm this service? Do you believe this Spirit works, this Spirit working through me? You're needing prayer, aren't you? If I tell you by God's Spirit, just like the woman touched His garment, you touched Him too. I've never seen you in my life, did I? Don't know nothing about you, but you got spinal trouble. That's right. You did have, you don't have now. Go home and be well. Mm-hmm. You believe? What about somebody over this way? Somebody over there to believe? You believe it all your heart?
What about you, lady, sitting there? You put up your hand in the healing? You set your hand in? I don't know. You've never seen me in my life, as far as I know. You might have seen me, but I don't know you. If God will explain to me and let me know that you touched his garment, something happened, I won't speak to you unless that angel standing right there over you. That light, you ever see the picture of it? Well, that's exactly what's making you feel where you are. He's right over you. I never seen you in my life. That's right. If it is, raise up your hand, I'm a stranger to you.
You've got a strangling spirit, which is a garter inside your neck. You're not from this country. You come from a place that's below here. You come from Orlando, Florida. That's exactly right. That's saith the Lord.